KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. We look for it to be partly sunny today, a high of 44. Currently, cloudy skies and 26 degrees. In the news, crews with the Lewis Fire Department, Griswold Fire and Rescue, were called to a report of smoke inside a home southeast of Lewis at 648-48 600th Street early this morning. The call came in around 1:45 a.m. from the Danny Kirkhoff residence. The caller indicated smoke was visible, but they did not see any flames. Medevac ambulance was also subsequently dispatched. Heavier smoke was observed when authorities arrived on the scene. And according to Cascade Emergency Management Coordinator Mike Kennan, authorities determined a hot water on-demand system was to blame for the smoke. There was no fire. The home was ventilated, and residents were back inside by around 2:40 a.m., which was about the same time all the emergency units were leaving the scene to return to their base. Officials of the Shenandoah Police Department say a traffic stop late Friday night in the 400 block of North Center Street resulted in the arrest of two people on drug charges. The K-9 Argo was deployed, and upon further investigation, 46-year-old Ray Kalkus and 44-year-old Michelle Kalkus, both of Imogene, were taken into custody a little after 10:15 p.m. Ray Kalkus was charged with possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Michelle Kalkus was charged with driving while barred as a habitual offender. Both were transported to the Shenandoah Police Department, where they were able to post a $3,000 bond each. Two longtime teachers who challenged their firings from the Iowa School for the Deaf will not be returning to their jobs. Judge David May has ruled that the Iowa Board of Regents, which governs the Council Bluffs-based school, had just cause to terminate 25-year teacher Tina Murdoch. May's ruling overturned an arbitrator's decision that ordered Murdoch be reinstated. The Regents had appealed that ruling, arguing Murdoch should be fired because of poor performance. Murdoch's former colleague, Tricia Tighe, meanwhile, recently dropped a court appeal of her firing. Attorney Raymond Aranza, who represented both teachers, said Tighe found a teaching job in Arkansas and decided that her firing was not worth fighting over. He said he was disappointed in the decision that upheld Murdoch's firing. Aranza said both teachers were popular with parents and students, and that administrators unfairly second-guessed their teaching skills. The parents of a 10-year-old Council Bluffs girl want more answers after their daughter's scary experience with bullies on a city school bus this past week. Rayanne Dabney said two other girls said they wanted to write on her face with a black magic marker.
And I said no. And then they just grabbed me and held me down and colored on my face.
The girl says it was a very frightening experience.
I was scared that they were going to draw inappropriate things on my face.
The bullies did write a word on the girl's face using the marker, in addition to a beard, mustache, and other scribblings.
They put loser on my head.
School officials say the two girls lost their bus riding privileges for one day. Rayanne's parents are outraged and say more should be done. They filed a report with the police department. A suspect in a Council Bluffs burglary was injured, treated, and then placed under arrest after he was shot at Thursday night by the alleged victim of the crime. Council Bluffs police say 34-year-old Adam Daywood of Council Bluffs faces fifth-degree theft and criminal trespass charges and was being held at the Pottawatomie County Jail. Authorities say just before 10 p.m. Thursday, Council Bluffs police officers were dispatched to a call of a burglary at 908 2nd Avenue. A resident there reported that he'd observed a male subject, later identified as Daywood, on his property stealing items. The resident, armed with a small-caliber rifle, exited his home and confronted Daywood. During the encounter, the resident, identified as 59-year-old Gawino Gutierrez of Council Bluffs, fired two shots from his rifle in an attempt to scare away Daywood. Neither round struck Daywood, but he did suffer a leg injury due to either the bullet or concrete fragments ricocheting up and hitting him. All the parties were involved were interviewed by detectives, and evidence, including the rifle, was seized. After investigators consulted with both county and city attorney's offices, it was determined Gutierrez would be issued a citation for discharging a firearm within the Council Bluffs city limits, which is a simple misdemeanor. His initial court appearance has been set for February 14th. The last of the three defendants in a Council Bluffs slaying has pleaded guilty. 20-year-old Ben Lean pleaded guilty to reduced charges last Monday, two counts of robbery and two counts of criminal mischief. Lean had previously been charged with murder, among other crimes. He was sentenced to anywhere from 12 to 20 years in prison. Lean, Marquise Davis, and Wesley Correa Carminati were charged with the slaying of Anthony Walker during a botched robbery in March of 2016. Correa Carminati is set to be sentenced on May the 1st after pleading guilty to voluntary manslaughter, attempted murder, and two counts of robbery. Davis pleaded guilty in November to robbery and was sentenced to 25 years. The Iowa Department of Public Health says 25 flu-related deaths have now been confirmed across the state. State epidemiologist Dr. Ann Garvey says 11 of the flu deaths happened in the last week of January.
We are seeing a real increase in flu activity. And so if you haven't gotten your flu vaccine yet, now is the time to get in and get that vaccine. And also, if you are sick with flu-related illness, it's really important that you stay home until at least 24 hours after your fever resolves to prevent spreading that illness to others.
Although one of the flu victims had an underlying condition, and 19 of those who died were elderly residents who were 81 years of age or older.
They are one of the populations at higher risk. So older people, people with certain health conditions like asthma, diabetes, heart disease, those are the groups that are at higher risk to develop more severe illness and complications of influenza.
Dr. Garvey says you should put off visiting elderly friends and relatives if you have the flu.
If you are ill, if you have a fever, we absolutely would recommend that you stay home. And we recommend that you stay home for 24 hours after that fever resolves.
She says the flu isn't the only illness that's been hitting Iowans.
The other thing that we're seeing a lot right now is norovirus, the virus that causes about 24 to 48 hours of diarrhea and vomiting. We're seeing quite a few reports of clusters of cases of norovirus. And so, again, staying home when you're sick, washing your hands frequently, those two things will cut down on transmission of all illnesses.
And Iowa is not alone in seeing the flu numbers go up.
Our neighboring states are seeing higher levels of influenza activity as well. And this is the time of year that we tend to see those levels increasing. So, again, this is expected. What we're trying to really emphasize is that, again, if people haven't gotten their influenza vaccine yet, they really need to be doing that because that's the best thing that we can do to protect ourselves from getting influenza.
Dr. Garvey says the vaccine this year appears to be doing a good job.
Everything seems to be matching well this year to the vaccine strains. And so, again, getting that vaccine is the best way that Iowans can protect themselves against influenza.
The flu is a respiratory illness caused by viruses. Symptoms may include fever, headache, tiredness, cough, a sore throat, nasal congestion, and body aches. Illness typically lasts 2 to 7 days and often puts healthy people in bed for days. Flu deaths have been reported in all regions of Iowa. In southwest Iowa, there have been 8 deaths. Taking a look at our funeral announcements this morning, Mary Irwin, age 95, of Guthrie Center, died Wednesday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Mary Irwin will be today at 10:30 at the Panora First Christian Church. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. Wilma Leyland, age 91, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Wilma Leyland will be today at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has the arrangements. Grace Munt, age 97, of Lenox and formerly of Corning, died Monday at the Lenox Care Center. Memorial services for Grace Munt will be today at 10:30 at the Corning United Methodist Church. Pearson Family Funeral Service in Corning has the arrangements. Edward Aronson, age 92, of Audubon, died Wednesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. A celebration of life memorial service for Edward Aronson will be held today at 2 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon, with Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of the arrangements. Christian Frederick Johansson, age 46, of Harlan, died Thursday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Christian Johansson will be on Monday at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Harlan, with Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan in charge of arrangements. Doris May Diddy, age 90, of Stewart, died Wednesday at her home. A celebration of life for Doris Diddy will be held February 10th at 10:30 a.m. at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home Stewart Chapel has the arrangements. And Muriel Peterson, age 78, of Kimbleton, died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Services for Muriel Peterson are currently pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Kimbleton. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.